Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
All right, welcome in to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman, he's Rob Hummel, and hey, Rob, I'm getting ready for our trip to Bloomington. What do you got?
Nice. I got my goods.
Look at that. Honestly, you should be sending me you can bring them to Bloomington.
No, they're probably going to stay right here. And the fact that you want some of this is pathetic. But I just want to thank Hershey's and Twizzlers and all my friends there for, you know, hooking me up for the rest of the year.
How this big is that Twizzlers?
This thing is so heavy, by the way.
Like, is that the family size Twizzlers or even bigger?
They got there's 30 packs in there. There's 30 packs of Twizzlers.
I love Twizzlers.
Well, maybe if you're nice to me over the next couple of weeks, I'll bring some Twizzlers to Bloomington for you.
I just want the hookup. I don't care about you bringing them. I want the hookup.
You'll never get the hookup. The hookup is secret. That's top secret.
Unbelievable. All because of my tweet, you get hooked up with a full care package.
We drove engagement to Twizzlers that day. So
good. We did.
Unfortunately, only one of us was rewarded, though.
Yes, very true. But listen, we're going to have fun in Bloomington. A week from tomorrow, we're going out in Bloomington. And we're going to see. We're going to see how many Indiana fans recognize you.
That will not happen. I will maybe go to dinner. But otherwise, I will be in the hotel room.
Why? Why are you so worried about stuff? Are you afraid of the fans?
No, I'm not afraid. I have to work the next day. Not all of us get to just do whatever and then go to the game, and you could be feeling any type of state and then write some trash article. Because that's what you're going to do.
It is an early game. You need your sleep.
Yeah, it's at noon. I gotta rest up.
If it were a night game, would you have gone to Knicks with me and Doster?
No.
You would not go to Knicks?
Probably not.
Is it because it's Indiana and Bloomington?
No, I just...
Would you go out if it was West Lafayette? Would you take us out?
I might step out for a drink or two, yes. But I just... There's nothing good that can come of that. There's nothing positive that can come from... And I will say, Indiana fans have been good to me. When I've announced the games, they're very nice at Assembly Hall. But a bar, that's just, it's not the play.
You think you're asking for trouble?
It's not the play right there, correct?
All right. You're a smarter man than me.
Well, they don't care about you. You've flipped sides to where now you pay tuition to Indiana, and now you're on that side of things. But they also, you went to Arizona.
I'm right down the middle, Rob. I'm right down the middle, other than my tuition payments.
That sways you heavily.
Those are the only things that aren't right down the middle. But you'll get a good meal. Dinner's on me next Friday night.
Wow, Field 68's buying?
Well, Doster probably won't reach into his pocket, but I will. I will. Since
bring some Twizzlers then. We'll call it an even trade. Dinner for Twizzlers.
Exactly. All right, let's get to it. Let's start with two blue bloods that continue to struggle, Rob. And now have put themselves in the equation where we're wondering whether or not they even get in the NCAA tournament.
Crazy.
And I don't know who you want to start with. You can pick. Carolina, Kentucky.
No, I'll start with Kentucky.
All right, we'll start with Kentucky, who it looked like it kind of, I don't know if found itself was the right word, but they've been better over the last couple of weeks. You know, the jump started by the Tennessee win in Knoxville. That was a huge one. And you thought maybe Calipari had started to figure it out, playing the two shooters, right? Playing C.J. Yep. Frederick and Antonio Reeves together. He's got a lottery pick. And then they lose at home to an Arkansas team that doesn't even have Nick Smith or Trevin Brazil. They're two best, most talented players. So how worried are you about Kentucky making the tournament, number one? And number two, is it time? Is it time? I know we talked about this before for Calipari in Kentucky to just say, hey, you know what? Maybe it's just best if we part ways. This thing has run its course.
Well, I still don't know about that. I think you're still looking at somebody who has proven himself at this level. Now, have they had problems? Yes, they have. And I think it's crazy that we talked so much about shooting, but now you look in conference play, they've got the third most efficient offense in the SEC.
Right.
And they're second in three-point field goal percentage. Now, they don't take a lot of them, but they are making threes when they shoot them. Defense has been the problem all of a sudden. Yeah. And the pick and roll in particular.
With Oscar. Yeah.
I mean, this guy was up for, wasn't he considered for National Defensive Player of the Year last year?
Who?
Oscar. Wasn't he in that conversation?
Only because he
I know he blocked shots, but still.
It's
like,
so wrong. But it's so wrong.
I agree.
People do that because they're looking at one stat and it's rebounds per game. Well, no, great. Understand. He gets rebounds. But if you're literally not trying to ever block a shot, yeah, you're going to have a better chance of getting the rebound.
That's true. No, I understand that. But it's shocking to me that now you see stuff from their beat writers and you see stuff about Kentucky and it's all about how, well, we can't guard the ball screen and it's all getting put on Oscar Tshiebwe.
Right.
They don't have great wins.
Yeah.
They have thrown him under the bus. This is the National Player of the Year from last year.
Yeah.
And I know
he works his ass off, you know.
He didn't play well against Arkansas. What did he have? 7 points and seven rebounds. I mean, that's a shocking effort from him because normally he's an automatic double double. But yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, Cal has pushed different buttons and inserted different people into the lineup, and it's just kind of been like plugging holes. You know, for a while it was, well, we have no shooting, and then for a while it was something else, and now it's about Oscar Tshiebwe. How many quad one wins do they have? One.
I think it's one. I think they've got one in Carolina's.
Tennessee would be their quad one win.
Correct. That's it.
I mean, yeah. You look at Lunardi's stuff. He's got them in the last four in or the next four. I mean, they're hovering close, and it's just shocking that it seems like every time they address one of their issues, something else springs up. I mean, they have problems, but I still do not think that it's. As long as he wants to be there, I just think that they could still fix a lot of these issues. Now, they're going to have to make some changes. We talked about the offensive coordinator type idea, but now they're shooting it well. You know, they're shooting a good percentage in SEC play. It's a really weird situation. That's crazy.
Yeah, and again, we talked about how Sevier Wheeler was kind of an issue, right, with them.
And well, he went to the bench.
He didn't play last game.
No, I know, but I'm talking about they talked to him about coming off the bench and – that seemed to work for a couple games, and he was hurt against Arkansas.
Yeah, they're 1-7 in quad ones. They're 6-0 in quad twos, but they're 1-7 in quad ones. You know, to me, here's the thing with Kentucky now, is you look at their schedule and you say, all right, they got some easy ones coming up, Georgia and Mississippi State on the road. Are they easy? I mean, they can't lose either of those. They've got a problem.
I mean, Georgia away. Both those games could be close. I mean, neither team is awful.
They have to beat Tennessee at home, to me.
Florida away is that doesn't feel
right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, like
with the way Colin Kasten carved them up.
Seven games left. They got
with the way Kasten carved them up last Saturday. Yeah. That is a concern. Auburn at home will be a tough game. Arkansas away. I mean, it's not easy.
No, I think they have to go 5-2 in these last seven, including winning against Tennessee, to have a shot. You know, you can lose one of these two road games at Georgia and Mississippi State, and it won't crush you. Probably Mississippi State is the one you can afford to because their numbers are good. You can lose at Florida, it won't, or at Arkansas, won't crush you. But you better beat Tennessee at home to have any shot. Yeah, I'm just still confused why they're this bad. I mean, again, when you look around the country, Rob, and you look at some of the teams that are on the bubble, some of the teams that are in, look at Arkansas, for instance. They've lost Nick Smith, and we'll talk about them and Nick in a little bit here, but they've lost, again, their two most talented players, and they're not even on the bubble right now. They're in. After losing their two most talented players, they are clearly in the tournament if it ended today. Kentucky's been relatively healthy for most of the year. and they're not in. Like, what does this say about Calipari and his coaching?
Yeah, no, it's not good. I think it says that the sum of these parts is not greater than what they are individually. And Arkansas would be the opposite. No Nick Smith, no Trayvon Brazil. And they have found a way. This is certainly, you can throw it on the coaching. It doesn't make sense. It really does not make sense why you can have this many talented players and not win games.
What I'll say is the one semi-comparison I have between Kentucky and Carolina, and they've got different issues, is a big that is not a shot blocking. Again, I'm not going to call Baycott a liability defensively because I don't think he's a liability, but what he isn't is a guy that could go out there and switch ball screens, and he's not a shot blocker. Like, that's the difference that I think both of them are having a little bit of trouble, but I think Carolina's trouble. Also, I was there for the Duke game, Rob, and after the game, I literally told Hubert as I was walking off, I'm like, you know, your team, even in the press conference, I said, your team was so much fun to watch in March last year, right? They were fun to watch. They looked like they were having fun. They were playing with emotion, raw emotion, happy, chest bumping, looked like they were happy for one another. I see none of that now. Zero.
How did he take you saying that?
He didn't. He pushed back on it a little bit. He said, well, you know, some of it's about winning and losing, but Hubert's the nicest human being in the world. And again, listen, the one thing, and he'll say this to me, the one thing he admitted that I was right a year ago when I called them soft, and he played the clip before games to show his team how to motivate him, I guess, and say, hey, look at this asshole.
I bet all those players hate you.
Baycott doesn't. Caleb Love hates me.
Dang.
Baycott
came on the podcast. Yeah.
I think a lot of them realized I was right. And you know, you wonder if Hubert is just Mr. Positivity. But I think deep down, he's got to understand there are some issues with this team because they should not be regressing, which is what they've done for the most part, or at least kind of been running in quicksand. And I'll give them, like, you know, again, you know, in the ACC, you shouldn't be, what are they, 7-6 right now in the ACC?
They are 7-6 in a league that just fell behind the Mountain West in terms of overall conference rating on KenPom. They're 7th now.
I mean, that's an embarrassment. But Rob, is it now fair to say that last year's March run was fluky? That wasn't the real Carolina.
They caught fire.
Right.
Caleb Love got on this crazy heater, and they just, you know, Manic was shooting the ball at a crazy high clip. I don't know. They haven't executed well end of games. All the way back to PKI. I saw them against Iowa State. They had like 5 turnovers in the last 4 minutes, and they lost.
Yep.
You know, Alabama, they led in some of those overtimes, and they lost.
Terrible offense.
The Pittsburgh game. You know, they were up with a minute to go and they lost. The Duke game, tie game, 4 to play, and they lost. This last Wake game, it's a 7-point game, but it wasn't that close.
It was an embarrassment.
Down 26. I am concerned because whenever you read the quotes by the Carolina players, it's like, well, we just need to compete. Man, it's February. What do you mean you need to compete? We are in the middle of conference play, almost on the back, getting to the backside of conference play.
Yeah.
It is not the time to say, well, if we compete, we'll be good.
How are you not competing by now? Like,
that discussion is had in October.
Like, this was a huge game at Wake. A huge game at Wake.
And they sleptwalked for the first 30 minutes.
Right.
They really did. You hear the togetherness and the cohesiveness, and it just seems like that is not there. It really doesn't. And it's just,
they're the ones I worry about. I worry more about them than I do Kentucky, to be honest. I think Kentucky's got enough talent. I think they end up getting in.
Well, the Carolina bench is almost non-existent.
Right.
I mean, and
Hubert said he wanted to play the bench this year. That was his big thing, his last year.
But he really didn't in the non-conference. So if you don't play them then, how can you put them in at Wake Forest and say, all right, guys, like, you know, go contribute when you didn't have them gain confidence and experience?
Yeah, I mean, listen, in the game against Duke, Puff Johnson was the only player who played more than 5 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he's been banged up, so he's not been consistently getting time.
I just feel like, again, you've lived and died too much with Caleb Love. You've given him too much.
But they lived at the highest level last year.
With that.
He took you to the national title. He beat Duke at Duke. He beats Duke in the Final Four. You know, he had this incredible run. It's really interesting to look at when you think about how Caleb Love will be remembered. And I think it'll be more positive than negative, especially if they don't make the NCAA tournament. You would have two very different seasons. But he had an all-time run for Carolina. You go to the national championship game and the way he played and the shots he made, the shot he made in the Final Four, those are massive moments.
Massive.
Even in a place like North Carolina, where they've had crazy massive moments. You know, he is a fascinating player in college basketball, and you're probably right, but that they rode that last year and it took them all the way to the national title game.
So I've been out there anti two high majors playing each other in Dayton at the first four. Okay. I want to see the highs play the mids, right? Because I think that would be more fun. Those four games, to me, if they changed it going forward, it'd be great to see high play Charleston. And you know,
I don't know. I think this would be pretty entertaining.
Agreed. This is the one that I would say, you know what? Throw that out the window. Put Kentucky, Carolina in Dayton. I haven't been to Dayton in years for that. I might actually go to that game. I mean, that would be one hell of a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be sweet. That can happen. Why should it not?
Of course.
They'd have to be both 11 seeds. Is that right?
11, 12, whatever it is. I mean,
yeah,
they could do it. They could do it. And ratings, man, they'd be
ridiculous. No, for sure. But in order for that to happen, they would have to be the last four teams in that last four in area.
Yes. Yes. Gotcha. Which they both are right now.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. They're both right there. Sure.
Hold on. Let's look at what Lunardi's, if he sent an email today. If he hasn't, that's shocking because.
No, he's at it. Lenardi doesn't sleep. Come on.
Agreed.
Kentucky, I got on the bracket matrix, which is a bunch of people. You probably don't know about the bracket matrix.
It combines them all together.
Good job. Look at you.
It's like the recruiting rankings where it takes an aggregate score.
Yeah, when we did that, you were out of the top 100, I think.
No chance. Look it up right now. Look it up right now. Yeah. Kentucky, this is as of yesterday.
Go ahead.
What time was this at? At 9 yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So does that take into account these losses? Yeah, it would. Kentucky is the second to last team in, and North Carolina is the third to last team in.
So they're right there.
A&M's the last team in as of yesterday.
They're right there is all I'm saying. Like, this could happen. Like, if the season ended today, they could both be in Dayton.
The first team out?
Who?
Memphis Tigers.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, I mean, Penny's done that's another one we should talk about at some point. But, like, you know.
How huge is that Houston game coming up
huge,
in a week for them?
Huge.
Massive game.
Well, look at what it did for them last year. Remember what it did for Memphis last year, the Houston game.
Right.
Got them in. Yep. Got them in. And we didn't think the Houston team was that good last year because they were decimated.
They were just so injured. Yeah.
But they ended up making that run. I don't know if they can beat Houston this year fully healthy. I don't know if they can beat them.
I mean, Kendrick Davis is going to have to ball, and he is going to get trapped into kingdom come.
Everything. Yes.
He's going to, every time he comes off a ball screen, they are going to trap him and just flood that weak side.
Are you – I was asked this last night. Take your Purdue pom-poms, put them away for a second.
For the number one team in the country.
Okay. Yes, put them away. And if I said to you, you could – you got to bet your entire – your house – right, your plush estate in Chicago, on one team, Houston, Alabama, or Purdue, to go the deepest in March, or to win it all, one of those three. Who are you taking?
I don't feel good about any of those teams.
You got to pick somebody.
I'm just telling you, I don't feel good about any of them.
You have to pick somebody.
Houston, Alabama, or Purdue?
Yes. Well, those are the top three, aren't they?
I mean, if you're, yeah,
are you picking somebody else?
No. I don't feel good about any team. Like, it's not a year.
But those are your top three, are they not?
Carolina. Yeah, they are. They are.
Okay. I mean, you want to put in a write-in candidate, be my guest. You want to throw UCLA or somebody like that?
Or maybe I'll put in your favorite Tennessee Volunteers, the way that the fans were all responding to you on Twitter.
Yes. I was right.
Dude, I hate doing these types of things. I don't feel good about any of them. I really don't.
We're not ending this podcast till you pick.
I'm going to filibuster. We'll be on here for 20 hours. See if I can break you.
Break into the Twizzlers and go through them.
I'll just start crushing Twizzlers. I'll start reading off the phone book.
I'll go first. Right. How's that? I'll take you off the hook here for the first one. I'm going Houston.
Kind of who I was thinking too.
Older guards, Rob. Marcus Sasser, Shedd has been there before. They went deep last year with Jamal Shedd. He hasn't had the year we thought he would. Tremont Mark, big guard. You've got a lottery pick in Jairus Walker, and you've got a hell of a coach. Again, Purdue's got a hell of a coach too. So does Alabama. I think Nate Oates is terrific. But Kelvin's just done it for so long, and I think he's got all the pieces, and he's got bigs that know their role.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair.
With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Remember, Rob, when you set the New Year's Day goals that you said you'd stick to? HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your doorstep. So basically, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to the grocery store anymore. You don't have to go anywhere. It's there for you so you can just save time. I know how busy you are in your life, so we got to make sure we save time for you and make your life easier during the college basketball season. Get HelloFresh, skip that extra trip to the grocery store and the long checkout lines. Spend more time doing the things you love with your delicious chef-crafted recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Again, I'm not great at cooking, but this makes it easy. I've had them a couple times here lately when I've been home, and my wife doesn't kill me for my cooking. She actually loves it. So make sure, again, you go to HelloFresh.com/Field68 and use the code 65Field68. So go to HelloFresh.com/65Field68 and use the code 65Field68 for 65% off plus free shipping. Again, HelloFresh.com/65Field68. Use that code 65Field68 for 65% off plus free shipping. Go ahead.
I'm going to go Purdue. They've got the most dominant player in the country. And I just think that they're.
You don't worry about them. You really don't worry about them.
No, I worry about all three of these teams. That's why this exercise is stupid. I don't feel good about picking any of them. I look at the Bama loss to Oklahoma, and it's like, well, how does that happen? Oklahoma hasn't had a good year. How did they lose a game? And look, it's a long season. you have off nights with the way that they shoot and the pace that they play at, you're going to have nights where you're throwing balls off the wall and you're missing threes, right? Yep. Like that. Brandon Miller is as high end of a talent as we have in college basketball.
Hey, what I'll say too,
I worry about Purdue's freshman guards in the NCAA tournament. I worry about their guards, and that's not because they haven't had a great year. It's because you haven't been through it. You haven't dealt with it. I worry about physical, athletic teams against Purdue's backcourt because you saw what Rutgers was able to do to them. Yep. For Houston, I sometimes worry about their offense. I think that they have a team that at times, if they're not getting on the offensive glass, which they've kind of gone up and down on at times this year, their offense can be a little rough. But I think Kelvin's an incredible coach, and I think that they understand their roles as well as any team in the country. They guard you. I don't feel good about any of them. So that's what I picked Purdue because of Edie. But yeah, of course I have concerns.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I just think I have the fewest amount of questions when it comes to the Houston Cougars. That's what I would say.
Sure.
All right. Let's move on a little Big Ten. Let's move on to Big Ten now, because it's funny. We've anointed Purdue is the team to beat, and they're going to win the Big Ten, I would think. Their schedule, as you said.
Barring a collapse.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be hard to imagine. Is, to me, what Trace Jackson Davis has done is incredible lately. Like, I don't know if any of us saw this coming, Rob. We knew he was going to be a good player. He now knows he's the best player on the floor almost every time he steps on. And he's doing everything now. Right, he rebounds, he takes the ball up, he can face you up, which we knew.
He can really pass. That's been the biggest development. Yes. Where I think,
yep,
you know, he's doing a nice job when they get him in space of driving bigs and whatnot. But the passing is what has really impressed me, he's made a big jump in that regard.
Number one is Indiana. If they get X back, and I think he could come back for the Purdue game, we'll see. I think which gives him like three games in the regular season, then maybe a game or, you know, who knows how many games of the Big Ten tournament, couple, hopefully. So he gets four or five games under his belt before the NCAA tournament. How far can this Indiana team go?
No, I think that they can be a second weekend team if they get Xavier Johnson back and he gets back into the fold. And I think if you're there, then you certainly have the ability to win a couple games and end up as a dark horse to get to the Final Four. I think with Trace Jackson Davis, he's that talented. You know, their defense kind of slipped some. I think with him, you get him back, and that can help you, especially with quick guards. They like against Jameer Young, they really struggled to keep him out of the paint. But no, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to get to the second week in the NCAA tournament if they get healthy and they're playing the way that they've played. I think that you look at their last two wins, even though Rutgers, Mawat Mag's a big loss for them, still that they've been the second best team in the Big Ten, I think, for most of this season. So to beat Purdue and Rutgers back-to-back home games. Now, the question for them is, can they travel with this? Can they keep this going? And they've got a game at Michigan Saturday and Northwestern Wednesday. It is a massive prove-it week for them on the road. I know they're good at Assembly Hall. Can they take this on? And if they can't take it on the road, then I will be a believer that they really can make a run like that in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, listen, they got that huge one a couple weeks ago in Champaign, right? That was a huge road win for that team. But you're right. Totally. Like, they have such a big home court advantage that sometimes, again.
Well, you know, but think about Penn State away, doors blown off.
Yep.
Maryland away, score 55 points.
Yeah.
Kansas away, doors blown. Like, they. And the Illinois win was a good one for sure. Minnesota didn't play well, won by four. Right. Minnesota is the walking wounded currently. Yeah. So I think big week for them. Big week for them, proving it against two quality opponents. Michigan's playing well, even though they had maybe one of the weirdest games I've ever seen last night against who did they play? I was there.
Don't you hate that?
I literally just flew home against Nebraska.
Why was it one of the weirdest games? I didn't see it.
The turnovers were bizarre on both sides, and the runs. Really? I think Michigan went on a 30-6 run, and then that was countered by a 24-2 run by Nebraska. I mean, Michigan got up by 24 points, and then they turned it over four times in a row right before the half, and Nebraska cut it to 10, and then Michigan pushed it back out, and Nebraska went on a massive run again. It was so weird. I mean, it's just the weirdest game.
Can Michigan somehow find its way? Because it did last year. They weren't great in the regular season last year and ended up going to the Sweet 16. Could they get into the tournament? What do they have to do to get in the tournament?
Yeah. They're like Carolina and Kentucky. They have two quad one wins. They're 2-8 in quad one games. So Indiana game Saturday, massive. Wisconsin away, huge opportunity. That would be a quad one game. Michigan State at home, quad one game. Rutgers away, quad one game. Wisconsin at home, probably not, I would think, because of their net. But it could be. Illinois away, definite quad one. Indiana away, definite. So they've got, out of their, how many games they have left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. Out of their 7 games remaining, they will have 6 quad one opportunities. Now, you got to win some of them. I don't think that they're certainly not in right now. I don't even know if they're in the discussion right now in terms of you have the first 4 out, the next 4 out. They're not in those 8 teams. But I think with their schedule, there is a glimmer of hope. But you got to win Saturday if you want to get into that conversation.
Yeah, I would say you're right. I mean, I think if they get in, I don't know. I mean, you got obviously an elite level big. Jet Howard gets hot. You know, this team's been a little disappointing.
Kobe Bufkin's playing really well.
And so he's Doug really McDaniel.
Defending. Yeah, and Doug McDaniel. Think about this. He was recruited to be probably the third string point guard. You're assuming Frankie Collins is not leaving, and you think you have Jalen Llewellyn. Llewellyn blew his knee out. Frankie Collins transferred to Arizona State. And interestingly enough, he had the same situation happen at his high school. He went to a high school in Virginia. I think is it Paul the Sixth Catholic school?
Yep.
And they had their backcourt his freshman year was Jeremy Roach, Anthony Harris, and Trevor Keels. And Roach and Harris blow their knee out, and he gets thrown in and played well. And he's done the same exact thing this year. He has some things he needs to get better at, but I think 4 games coming into last night, 18 assists, 3 turnovers. He shot it at 35% from 3 in Big Ten play. Needs to be better finishing around the rim, but he's small, so that's tough. He's got a chance to be a good player.
Are you surprised, Rob, when you look at Michigan 14-10, 8-5? I know they lost Llewellyn, but it wasn't like they knew.
He wasn't playing very well.
Correct.
At he that wasn't point like anyway.
Yeah, he wasn't this guy that was like the answer. We didn't know what he was going to bring from the Ivy League.
I'm really not surprised. Bufkin's a young sophomore. He's finally started to come on. Hunter has been Hunter, but Hunter hasn't played. He's played at an all Big Ten level. He has not, for most of the season, been in an all American level. I wouldn't say he played like an all American last night. 2 games prior to that, Northwestern and Ohio State, he did. He played like all American Hunter Dickinson. Jet Howard's been really good, but he's young. Defensively, he struggles. Terrace Reed's given them some decent minutes, but still you're playing behind Hunter and he's limited offensively. Terrence Williams has kind of just been okay at the 4. He played well last night, but hasn't been great all year.
He's not an offensive guy.
I don't think that when you look at their roster, the talent level compared to some of the better teams in the Big Ten, you look at versus a Purdue, versus Illinois, versus Indiana, I don't think their roster stacks up from a talent standpoint from an overall perspective.
Which is crazy, Rob, because again, I mean, you look at, again, the recruiting rankings don't mean shit. But they got a lot of dudes on their team that are highly ranked. Yeah. Terrace Reed is one, but he can't play when you got Hunter.
And they've played them together some, and it's actually at times been okay.
I wonder where this program goes moving forward. That's my biggest thing is, Juwan took over a really good situation, right? Not a lot of guys take over what he did with John Beilein leaving. A great culture. He left them good enough players so they could be good. And obviously, Juwan's recruited at a crazy high level, right? And he's aided by the fact that you bring in your son, who's probably a first-round pick. Could be a –
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he leaves this year just because his circumstances are so different than most first-round. Your dad's the coach.
Right.
Your dad's made a lot of money in the NBA.
Yep.
He's certainly a first round type player. Jet Howard can hoop.
If he leaves, does dad try to leave for the NBA at some point? Because I think the primary reason why Juwan has stuck around, even after getting some level of interest from the NBA, is because he wanted to coach his kids.
I don't know. I feel like he really likes coaching at Michigan because it's his alma mater. I do believe that he feels strongly about that. Not that the NBA wouldn't intrigue him. He coached there before this and it was on Eric Spoelstra's staff. So I could see where it would be appealing. But I don't think he's just there because his kids are there. I think he wants to be at Michigan.
Yeah. Well, again, it's your alma mater. You know.
Yeah, right. He feels it's a special place for him.
He's done a good job. Juwan's not a better than most for former NBA players with $100 million in their bank account. Way better than most. So I want to see where it goes in the next couple of years and if Michigan can kind of, because for the last 2 years, they've been mediocre in the regular season now. Completely mediocre. Yeah,
I mean, last year's season was saved by the fact that you make that run, you beat Tennessee, you go to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
That really did kind of save that year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's finish with Nick Smith.
Hold on, we have one more thing. You said you wanted to talk about can Trace Jackson Davis make a run
exactly.
at Big Ten Player of the Year?
Yeah, Big Ten Player of the Year. I think I did a poll, Rob. You were included in it, believe it or not. I actually included you in the poll of top 10 players.
I'm media, so I should be included.
I know. I didn't want to offend you. I figured then you'd get pissed and wouldn't give me any Twizzlers. But so it was basically six guys for five spots. Zach Edey is the clear cut. He was the unanimous among 30 people I polled for National Player of the Year. After that, it was pretty bottled up. Jalen Wilson, Trace, Tubelis.
Pickett.
No, Pickett was not in the top six.
He was not in there? No.
No. Timmy was six. Who am I forgetting?
Oh, Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller was like four.
Yeah.
So can anybody and how do you go about looking at Big Ten Player of the Year? Because right now you could make a case that Trace has been as good as Edey since league play started.
Yeah, but one team is ranked number one in the country, yep, and one team is ranked 19th or 18th.
That's right.
I wrote this down. Trace Jackson Davis, last 10 games, he's been balling.
Yeah.
23 points a game, 13.8 rebounds a game, so almost 14, over 3.5 blocks, almost 4 assists a game, 54% from the field. Zach Edey, last 10 games, 23 points a game, 12.9 rebounds a game, 2.2 blocks, so almost a block and a half less, 73% from the field, so 19% more than Trace.
Yep.
And you look at their head-to-head matchups, Trace played a great game against Purdue, 25-7, 5 blocks, 9-19. Edey, 33-18, 10 offensive rebounds. He had a double-double with offensive rebounds, Jeff.
Yeah.
3 blocks, did have 5 turnovers, 15-19 from the field. So I agree that Trace Jackson Davis has been incredible, but Zach Edey's right there with him. And when they went head to head, Zach's numbers are better. So I don't see any way, barring Purdue tanks and Zach doesn't play well or injury. And even at this point, injury probably would be, he would just have it. I just don't see any way around it. That doesn't mean that Trace Jackson Davis has not played like a first team All-American, because he has. But this dude has played at the highest level in all of college basketball.
He's the National Player of the Year front runner, Rob, and he can't get size 20 sneakers from Nike.
That's pathetic, and shame on Nike for that.
Right?
You know, I love Nike because I've it's what I've been forever. You know, my high school team was Nike. My college team in the NBA, I was with Nike. He's the best player in the country, and we can't get him some new shoes?
Stupid. What?
I mean, so, I know they've got 20s lying around. I've seen them at the outlet malls when you stop on the highway. They got those random 18, 19, 20s that are just hanging around there.
Hey, they make it for all the Oregon players.
Get him some basketball shoes. My goodness.
I'm with you 100%. All right, let's finish up with Nick Smith and the, I don't know if dilemma, but somewhat of a dilemma. I mean, this is a kid who's been hurt all year. He's played basically four games for Arkansas, considered a top five pick coming into the season, electric three-level scorer, the guy that honestly could put Arkansas back in the Elite Eight or even the Final Four if they were completely healthy. They haven't been. Again, I think Musselman's done an incredible, incredible job getting them where they are right now. But now Nick Smith, he's been in L.A. for the last month training, rehabbing.
Okay? That's so NBA. But
he's taking classes.
I respect it.
He's been taking some online classes. Bro.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just what you do in the NBA. If some of these guys get injured, they go to these rehab places. And
well, they got agents now. That's the difference. They got agents where they didn't have them 5 years ago, telling them, hey, come on out and rehab here. Make sure you're 100%. And I said this probably 3 weeks ago. I think I tweeted out, if he's 100%, he's going to come back. Well, sure enough, he's back with the team. He's practicing. And the plan is for Nick Smith to come back at some point.
What is his injury, Jeff? Is it tendonitis? Like,
soreness? What it is. Yeah, right knee.
As long as it's not ligament related, if you feel good, play. You know, I respect him for playing. And
I do too. I do too. Is it the smartest business decision though, Rob?
Probably not. But I think everybody understands too that he's been injured. And I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from a pure business decision, probably not. I think it's probably fair to say no. But I respect a kid who wants to play with his teammates.
Me too.
And wants to be there for him. And I think NBA people do too. You know, I think that has to speak for something. And I think it does. You know, right now, if this was March 1st, you might be like, dude, you're not going to be able to get in a rhythm. But we are at the middle, at the start of February still. What is it, February 9th? So we're getting late in the year, but at least he has how many more SEC games to go? You've got 7 games in SEC play. You've got the conference tournament. You've got the NCAA tournament. If he wants to play, I'm cool with it. But is it the best business decision? If you're looking at it purely from business, probably not. But I respect that.
I bet he comes back in a week or so and plays like four or five regulars.
No, he said he's playing on Saturday.
Oh, did he?
He was on one of his teammates' Instagram stories, really? And he said he's playing against Mississippi State.
That's great. That's great. I mean, listen, I'm with you. I love this. I love it for the kid, and I've been told all along the kid wants to play. I think, unfortunately, in this day and age, there's too many people around these kids trying to tell them, again, protect your draft stock. Well, listen, yeah, maybe he won't go top five at the end of the day, right?
I mean,
maybe
he's not going to fall out of the top 15.
No
chance. He's too talented. People understand he's been injured. You know,
and it's all about the second contract anyway, and it's all about the fit of where you get drafted.
No, that's true. But would you rather make $5 million your first year or $2.5 million?
I get it.
I'm just saying. And in the grand scheme of things, Nick Smith has earning potential of like $500 million probably.
Right.
So you're right. The next contracts are what matter. But I respect him. And as long as he is not at risk to injure himself further, then I'm cool with him playing. Cause I think it's pretty
rare
to see a kid do that.
It goes against that everything level. That like you're watching these football dudes, right? Yeah. Bail out of the bowl games.
That are fourth round picks.
Yes. We got a kid that could easily bail right now and say, you know what? I'm hurt. I know I'm going to be a top 5-10 pick at worst. I'm done. I'm out. I'm tapping out. And instead, he's like, you know what? I'm going to come back. And the other part to this that we haven't talked about is, okay, let's say he gets these 7 games. He's still a freshman. There's still a learning curve here with him. He's played 4 games as a freshman, and his team is playing well lately. So their upside is obviously so much higher that if you're Musselman, hey, come on back, man. We need you because – yeah, we could maybe win a game or two in the NCAA tournament without you. But with you, who knows? Maybe we can catch fire here. And now we got a shooter score that we're desperate.
Well, yeah, and their offense, what does it need? Somebody that can make jump shots from the perimeter and score, for sure.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, listen, appreciate everybody tuning in. As always, Goodman and Hummel Pod. We're still going to try to convince Rob next week to go out down in Bloomington.
Some of us have to work, dude. Some of us have to work. You're just going to be hungover in the stands.
If I buy you the candy stripe pants, will you put them on?
No.
You will not put the candy stripe pants on?
No.
No chance?
Zero chance.
What about going in the Indiana student section with me before the game?
No chance.
No chance. What will you do?
Nothing. I will go and do my job. I'll go there and work. No chance. Why would I go in the student section? Why would I want to do that? All it takes is one dude to be like, to say whatever. You realize how much Indiana and Purdue hate each other, right?
I'm going to find out when we're inviting a bunch of Indiana fans to dinner with us.
I will, believe me, there will be an open seat if that happens. Someone will not be showing up, which will be me.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Goodman and Hummel Pod. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check it out every week.